Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, installing energy-efficient windows to help lower utility bills year-round. More at callmosby.com.
It's Friday, April 4th, 2025, and this is The Gateway from St. Louis Public Radio News. I'm Rod Milam, in for Abby Larico. Coming up, the most competitive race for the St. Louis Comptroller office in decades is nearing its end. Voters are choosing between a 30-year incumbent and a former alderwoman and state representative who says the city needs a new set of eyes on its finances. More on the contest between Darlene Green and Donna Berenger coming up. The Missouri House has sent over to the Senate an almost $48 billion state operating budget. House Democrats hope the Senate addresses some issues that they have with that budget. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
One budget bill that did not receive a single Democratic vote was the bill funding K-12 public education. Democrats spoke against the House underfunding the state's K-12 foundation formula by roughly $300 million. Representative Betsy Fogel says she hopes some of that money is restored on the Senate side. She also wants to see tens of millions in federal dollars that Governor Mike Kehoe requested for child care subsidies put back into the budget.
Especially on the back of an 18-month span where we sat in that budget hearing room for countless hours, listening to people cry and scream and express their frustration about our inability to do our job as a General Assembly and the department to get those dollars out the door.
Fogel says she thinks the Senate will restore some of that funding. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
President Donald Trump's tariffs on international goods have sparked fears over high prices among many Americans and business owners. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, some St. Louis business owners say they're trying to adapt.
Many economists and grocers worry the tariffs will harm American consumers and will probably lead to higher prices. Shane Prepisel is chief operating officer of Global Foods Group. He spoke to St. Louis on the air Thursday and says at least 20 restaurants rely on the company for groceries. He says while some things can be grown in the U.S., other foods grown in foreign countries could pose a challenge.
Because of globalization, we're able to get galangal and fresh mangoes and all of that. And, we can still get that. It's just now trying to figure out how much it's going to cost.
Prepisel says his business and others are trying to figure out how to stay competitive and keep their businesses afloat. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County voters will decide next week whether to allow the county council to fire department leaders. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the high stakes over Proposition B.
Proposition B would allow the county council to oust department directors and the county councilor with 5 out of 7 votes. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page strongly opposes Proposition B, contending it's a power grab that will make people leery about serving in county government. But backers like Councilwoman Rita Days contend it will hold the county executive's office accountable.
We must have the authority to take that step if officials are repeatedly derelict in their duties.
The state's Court of Appeals is considering a lawsuit from Page's department directors that may block Proposition B from going into effect, even if voters approve the measure on April 8th. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
6 North County farmers could see over $3 million in county funding to help put more fresh fruits, vegetables, and other produce on tables in their communities. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, one Spanish Lake farmer says the support is needed because there aren't many grocery stores in North St. Louis County.
Over the past few years, Janet Lewis worked with St. Louis County Councilwoman Shalonda Webb on ways to decrease food insecurity in parts of North County. Webb was concerned because she couldn't get grocery stores to move into the area. Lewis, who owns Rustic Roots Sanctuary, helped develop a bill to build capacity for farmers. It would also help create a farmer residency program and a food storage facility. Lewis says this could strengthen local food systems.
If you look at Detroit and Kansas City, they have these things in place already. And because of it, they're able to pump more nutrition into the bodies of their communities. And that's what we need to do.
St. Louis County Council could pass this ordinance next week. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
– Except for her first election in 1996, incumbent Comptroller Darlene Green has run for office with little to no opposition. But this year, she's facing a stiff challenge from former state representative and alderwoman Donna Berenger. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports on the race to be St. Louis's chief financial officer.
By most measures, St. Louis's financial picture has improved since Mayor Freeman Bosley elevated Green to comptroller in 1995. Its credit rating is no longer junk bond status, making the city more attractive to investors. Green has also helped build up a rainy day fund of more than $150 million. With state and federal funding sources under attack, that revenue may be needed sooner than later. That's why now is not the time to change course, Green told attendees at a South St. Louis candidate forum in late March.
This is not a job where it's on-the-job training, and I truly believe that especially at such a time as this is about protecting your tax dollars.
But Berenger says 30 years is a long time in office, and the comptroller is letting things fall through the cracks. Union dues were not properly withheld from the paychecks of St. Louis police officers, and the comptroller's office is still trying to work out the kinks of new financial management software.
That's the kind of thing we can't afford to happen anymore. It's all these little things that are happening. It is a lot of moving parts, and it is understaffed, overworked.
Vacant positions are common across city government. There's currently about 20 in the comptroller's office. Berenger does not have accounting experience, but she learned to navigate her way around financial documents at City Hall and in Jefferson City. She's promising increased transparency and more use of technology if elected. Most of Green's campaign appearances have been at neighborhood forums. She's leaving the door knocking to her surrogates like Mia King and James Butler of SEIU Local 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you Clyde or Owen?
Yeah, Clyde.
Clyde Ragland is one of the few people who are home on a bright, sunny Saturday in the Carondelet neighborhood. He tells King that while it's good the incumbent has the support of SEIU, he is worried about her lengthy tenure.
I've seen over and over people in the same leadership position for too long, things start to go bad.
The message of change has some appeal. Berenger narrowly won the March primary. A third candidate got about 8,000 votes. King says she gets it.
But sometimes we're not getting the change we're seeking with some of these people, and we know these things up front.
SEIU has always encouraged a vote for Green as they canvass for other candidates, but it's been a long time since they've had to knock doors for her specifically. King isn't worried.
No, because she was so close in the primary without running this kind of campaign.
While many of the local unions are behind a friendly incumbent, Berenger has gotten support from her former primary opponent, Celeste Metcalf. On a rainy Sunday, just before the start of early voting, Metcalf is hosting a meet and greet with Berenger at the now-shuttered Rouge Bistro in Midtown.
We want to see this city grow. We want to see this city prosper. We want transparency. We both have integrity and honesty and objectivity at the core of what we do.
Developer Kevin Bryant came to the event at Metcalf's request. He's supported Green in the past, but is now about 90% convinced to vote for Berenger. Green, he says, is holding up the financing that could kickstart millions of dollars worth of development he has planned for just north of the Central West End.
You have to say, all right, I have to think about what's best for the project and what's best for the city.
Green's office says the comptroller has a longstanding policy of not making the city responsible for covering the costs of projects that do not generate enough revenue, which is something that Bryant wants. Early voting is already underway. Polls open Tuesday at 6 a.m. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
And that piece was edited by Fred Ehrlich from St. Louis Public Radio News. And our voter's guide has more information about Tuesday's municipal election. It's available for you right now on our website, stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music provided by Ryan McDealy of Adult Fur. I'm Rod Milam. Have a good day.